Chris, where does Batman take his garbage?
Where?
To the dump, to the dump, to the dump, 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 to the dump, to the dump, to the dump, 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 to the dump, to the dump, to the dump, 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 to the dump, to the dump, dump, dump. Hey, you're listening to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRailia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your trash men.
conducting the symphony of trash for your comic book pleasures.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, Chris, what was that we were listening to earlier? Was that Beethoven's 18th?
No, that's the William Tell Overture.
Oh, right. Okay,
is it,
yeah.
Is it that right? Is correct, yeah, Walter. Yeah. Yes. Chris, do you even listen to classic music?
I was trying to ease him in there.
I feel like I wasted a perfect classic on you, Chris. You didn't even appreciate it.
Checky, do not throw your pearls at swine.
Are you calling him a swine?
That's no.
All yeah,
I heard.
What are you trying to say?
That's all I heard from that.
I don't know what I said.
Yeah, yeah. Is that even a saying?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Don't throw pearls at swine?
Leave me alone.
I'm not sure if that's
listen,
actually
we're here, guys,
saying.
To talk yeah, about here we are. It's a great segment, yeah. By the way, Chris. Yeah. Thanks for throwing it my way.
Yeah.
To talk about comic books and the world of comic books and everything that involves comic books.
I like that. I like things that involve comics.
And we're here to champion the local comic book shop.
Yes.
And we're here to for me to pass it over to you.
Oh, well, you know what we really should also do is we should probably introduce our young producer here, Shecky Extraordinaire. That's his new last name.
Are you
now
trying to suck up to me so that
not
I
even a
stop
little
ripping on you?
No, not even a little.
Ah, well done, Chris.
Just thought I'd introduce you. But
you know it's not going to change anything.
But you know what? We're done with you now. So anyways, let's keep on going here.
Hey, Shecky, good to have you here. Nice to see you're in
control. I'm glad someone wants me here.
We're here to talk about comics. We're here to talk about all things comic book, comic culture, cosplay, board games, movies, all that kind of fun
hey,
stuff.
Hey, cosplay. Speaking of cosplay.
Yeah.
So I'm at that GTA Con last weekend.
By the way, just for our listeners, in case you don't know what cosplay is, it's when it's costume and play. It's when people get dressed up in like superhero costumes.
Yeah. So I'm at that GTA Con up near the airport.
And you finally put on your Wonder Woman costume.
No.
Oh.
No, it was my He-Man outfit.
Oh.
But it looked like Wonder Woman from far away. At the store, because I'm really in the know at the store, at the shop, up at Big B.
Yes.
Nicole, who really runs the place. Mark thinks he does, but really it's Nicole.
Yeah.
She says, I'm getting this cosplayer
okay
to come to Free Comic Book Day.
Nice.
Which, by the way, is May.
We should probably talk about that later on the show.
Yeah, May 3rd at your local comic book shop, so you have to go out and support it.
Yeah.
So, and she shows me a picture, Nicole does, of this famous cosplayer. First of all, I didn't know cosplayers could be famous.
Yeah, they're getting
there.
Do you want
to know what the requirements are for being famous as a cosplayer?
Easy,
yeah.
Steady.
Being really good at looking like whoever
looking
you're
good
portraying.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
What do you think I was
going
to say?
I don't know.
All right, keep going.
So showed me a picture of this lovely young lady as Psylocke.
Oh, Psylocke.
Yeah,
nice.
Psylocke.
Nice.
The purple one.
you mean the girl in the purple costume?
The girl in the purple costume,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
So she goes, "Oh, we're having this girl Psylocke come to Free Comic Book Day, and to support the shop, and she's part of a club, and and they told two friends, and so on and so on,
like the
shampoo commercial,
right?
So I'm walking up and down the
aisles,
and Chris, it was one of those epiphany moments.
What was that word, sorry?
I don't know. I said it really slowly so as and kind of drowned it out.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I swear, there's the girl.
Psylocke.
Is it Psylocke?
Yes, yeah, so the actual girl or the character?
The character Psylocke. It's the girl.
Okay, cool. Oh, very good.
Nicole showed me the picture.
There were like four-ish like professional cosplayers out there who had like guest tables.
Yeah.
Nice,
so I put on my best debonair Romanian accent.
Oh, okay.
And I went
good
over and I said,
which was terrible, obviously.
Excuse me, I heard you're coming to our shop. And yeah, I introduced myself.
Didn't realize you were Dracula.
Anyway, she's all excited to be
nice.
Part.
Oh, very
but
good.
It's a new world to me. This whole thing about you can be famous by just going to conventions and dressing up in costume.
There are a lot of people who are becoming famous and selling photographs of themselves.
Yeah. She had her own table.
They were all selling photos.
Yeah, she had her own table and she had fans lined up.
Yeah, there are a lot of
she had a bigger lineup than our booth.
Well, that's not saying much.
All right.
Well, what you need to do is you need to become famous by putting something on. You should wear like just a green leotard like morph suit where it's just all green spandex and everything spandexed out.
So I could be a Smurf.
A green one or
a
blue one.
Yeah,
they've got
blue. Green, oh, green. That'd be great. Marty, I think you should start dressing up.
Yeah.
As what?
I don't really know. Superman or Batman?
Wonder Woman?
Well, I think he's onto my alternate ego there.
Green Lantern?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-da. Hey.
What?
So, like, let's try to get the show back to where
we're supposed
to
talk about
which
stuff.
Which is where?
Well, we're going to talk about New This Week.
All right.
Do we have a sponsorship for New This Week there, Smarty?
Shecky? Yeah, you call me what you like. All right, New This Week brought to you by The Dump, where if you sleeve up, you might be able to find some gems once you wade through the soilage.
Did you just say sleeve up?
Yeah, if you're not sleeving up, you're going to be touching all kinds of weird gunk.
Hey,
you know?
Hey, sleeve up, buddy.
Yo, sleeve up.
Why don't you sleeve up? Hey, quit talking trash. Sleeve up.
Ooh.
Did you like that?
Nice.
Did you like that?
I feel like we're building off of each other right now.
All
right,
listen. Yeah. We're here to talk about New This Week, and I've got two Marvels and one DC today. So let's get the Marvels out of the way here. First one is Elektra number one. Now, I'm a longtime fan of Elektra from Daredevil years and way back when Bill Sienkiewicz was doing Elektra Assassin and that kind of thing.
Yes.
So, you know, and Elektra lives. And you know what? I actually liked this Elektra, new Elektra number one, and this is by the way, I believe his name's Stuart Blackman. Let me just confirm that. W. Hayden Blackman and Mike Del Mundo. Now,
so you're
listen,
completely wrong.
Completely wrong. Okay. I must have been thinking of somebody else.
Close. Yeah.
But I like the artwork. The artwork is reminiscent of Bill Sienkiewicz. I'm going to pass this over to you.
Oh,
so you
very
take a
nice.
Look.
Yeah.
Bill Sienkiewicz had that same kind of. It's got a hint of his kind of style.
Yeah.
And I like the story. I quickly read the story. There's a couple of spoilers. I don't want to give it away, but there's a character at the end of the book that comes in that we haven't seen for a little while. That it's nice to see this character come back again.
Excellent.
And predominant Daredevil character.
Excellent. Is it Daredevil?
No.
Oh.
All right, so this is Elektra number one for Marvel.
Yeah.
Available at your local comic book shop today.
All right, second Marvel book I got here today. This is Superior Spider-Man Team-Up. Now, this is sort of coming to a close, right? Not necessarily this book, but the whole idea of Doc Ock as the Spider-Man, you know, that kind of thing. That's all kind of pretty much done with now, right? Because Spider-Man's coming back and all that kind of stuff. Or that happened last week. Did that actually come out last week?
What?
Did I miss that? Would Spider-Man come back as from Doc Ock?
I think that's out next week.
Next week. Okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
I know we
weren't around last week, so I didn't get a chance to see what was going on. Anyways, I like this book a lot. It's got Doc Ock and Spider-Man in it, but I like the style of it. It's by Ron Frenz, and Sal Buscema was doing the inks for it. So I like this because it harkens back to those 70s, 80s, early 90s kind of style. It's got a clean, crisp style to it. I like the artwork. I just liked everything about it, and I like the story too.
Awesome. Superior Spider-Man Team-Up number 12.
Now,
is available, Chris, at your local comic book shop.
Yes. Now, I got to give do a shout out for this one for all of our Canadian friends out there. We do live in Canada, and sometimes we're a little underrepresented. I was going to say misrepresented, then underrepresented. We're a little underrepresented sometimes in the comic book world. So we've got here, this is Justice League United number 0, and this is by Jeff Lemire and Mike McCone. Of course, Jeff.
Oh, you have Lemire. So
Jeff Lemire
is of course
good,
he's
going to
bring
good
some
Canadian kid.
So, and this first story is called Justice League Canada, Part 1 of 5, and written by Jeff Lemire and artist Mike McCone, like I said. Now, so interestingly enough, it kind of starts in an odd way where, how do I describe this? It's like they have real-life superheroes doing a signing as if they're at a convention.
Mm-hmm.
So Animal Man and Stargirl mm-hmm. are out doing a signing, and this guy named Adam Strange, so of course he's been around a long time, DC character, comes around and says he's found some things, and all of a sudden there's a beam of light. Of course, Adam Strange, he also went up to that other world, and I don't want to get too involved in that. But anyways, interesting book. Even by the end of the book, there's a couple characters come around. Do you remember Lobo?
Yes,
was around, and Hawkman's in this. Mm-hmm. The only thing I didn't like about it, but I'm hoping that it's going to build to something, is that even though it's a book about Justice League Canada, and there's not a whole lot of Canadian heroes in it yet. Now, I'm sure there's building to something. The book actually takes place in a couple of different Canadian cities. Toronto, of course, Moosonee, and Moose Factory. Is nice. Another place that it takes place. I mean, there's a little bit of Native American, or Native Canadian, I guess you'd call it, characters and that kind of storyline going on in there. So very interesting, or Aboriginals, I guess there is probably the correct term, characters in this as well. Interesting book. I'm looking forward to seeing where Jeff Lemire is going to take it.
Excellent. You know, I'm excited about this too because Jeff Lemire, a good Canadian kid, is helming this.
Yes, that's
so,
right.
So this is exciting. Justice League United number 0 is available at your local comic book shop today, and I believe there are those two covers, that white cover.
They have the white blank ones where you can get like a sketch on it, sketch covers, or you can get the regular full.
And of course, Chris has just mentioned, what did you do, 6 today?
Three. I saw you nodding off there. It probably felt like 6.
Three comics that are available at your local comic shop today. 3 out of hundreds.
Hundreds.
New at your local shop today. So please check that out.
All right. Well, listen, let's have a quick musical interlude here before we go on to industry news and mailbag and all that kind of fun stuff. What do you got hooked up for us today there, Shecky?
Well, as usual, Krantz is in demand.
Yes. As always.
So we're going to put a little Krantz in your pants. And here we are.
All right. Sounds good. That is good.
That is good, Krantz. You know, no aftertaste.
No.
With Krantz. Hey, Chris, that takes us. Hold on, I can't see.
Industry news. It's
is
called.
It? I thought
industry
it was
industry news.
See, you know what? Here's the thing.
I tried to do something on my own and I failed.
Here's the problem: when you take initiative, Walt.
Yes.
It results like you take initiative usually does.
Yes.
You
know? Yeah. I should just look to Shecky and figure out what's going on next.
Makes a great point.
Yeah. Shecky, what's going on next?
All right, so we got a sponsor, and then we're going to kick it into high gear with industry news.
All right.
Right on.
So, industry news, sponsored by April Showers. If you thought kissing in the rain was fun, it ain't summer yet, and we make it miserable.
No, that's very true, yes.
It's a little chilly out there. You know, it's windy and everything. April's been kind of weird. It's not rained too much.
Had a nice day a couple days ago, but other than that.
Chilly and rainy and off and on. Yeah.
But we're hardy. We're Canadians. We are hyperboreal.
You know what? As long as it's not snowing. Guys.
Yes. I know. It's very good.
You know, everything's looking
very,
up.
Very, very good point. Yeah. Hey, listen, before we go on to industry news, this isn't really comic related, but it's kind of comic.
Sure, so we should talk about it.
Hey, just hold on. It's kind of comic related. So guess who would have turned 91 yesterday on April the 22nd? 91 years old.
So Jack 91. Kirby.
And
so
old,
that's
no.
Born in what, 23?
Yes. Born in 1923.
Adolf
more,
Hitler.
More of a... more of a
prohibition.
More of a figure, not a comic book
right
person.
Right.
Anyways, you know, you'll never guess
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Why don't you just tell us?
You know what? Just hold on.
Hold on. Catherine Hepburn.
No. No, it is a female.
It is a female.
Hedy
Lamarr.
No. You're getting closer with Hedy Lamarr.
Oh.
Judy Garland's pretty close.
No, not
she
Judy.
She was like 15 when she did Thing, and it was just, in 1939. I feel like I'm on. I think she actually might have been 91 today. I don't want you to look that up.
It's okay.
Lee Merriweather.
No. Betty Page. Betty Page would have been 91 yesterday. She would have, and of course, actually, and to commemorate, there's a new movie that just came out called Betty Page Reveals All. It's actually partly a documentary about her, and she does some of the voiceover before she passed away. There's been a number of different movies come out over the years,
yeah.
And this is sort of like the unofficial documentary, or sorry, official documentary. And so, yeah, she was a. For those of you who do not know who Betty Page is, she is the queen of pinup. She's the
burlesque.
Yeah. And
there was I saw a great T-shirt. Online the other day or something. I just, you know, happened upon this stuff. It was a Betty Page and her burlesque kind of show thing.
Yep.
And it was the caption on the bottom was, Grandpa, how'd you meet Grandma?
Nice.
By the way, I'm going to just update you two folks.
Something about Judy Garland, yeah.
Born June 10th, 1922. I was off by a year.
Year and a couple months.
Yeah. No, well, she would have been 91 right now, less a year.
No, that's
a
good
year
point.
Off.
Yeah.
If it was June 10th.
All right, let's argue about this for a while.
Yeah.
All right.
But I wanted to have this moment.
Yeah.
All right. I don't get
you know what? You know what? Hey, right. hey, good job, Shecky. You're right.
Yeah. Have we?
Will you be quiet now?
Yeah, because it segues right into our next topic,
which is what? News?
Which is Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Right. Have you done the sponsor already?
I did. Okay. That started the.
All right. We're really moving this thing along. All right. Listen.
Painful.
So let's talk about the Winter Soldier, Chris.
All right.
That movie with the guy, Captain America.
Captain America, movie, by the way. Have you had a chance to see it yet?
I haven't.
Yeah, I did. It was great.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I only saw it just recently, too, just on the last weekend.
And you liked it?
Fantastic, Chris. Yeah. It was really good.
Hey, no spoiler alerts for
no,
me. Please,
no, no, no,
guys.
But it had everything. It wasn't just a movie that was all hyped on CGI and effects and fighting.
Yeah,
it
that's
wasn't
right.
just, you know, boring and drowned out. Kind of like Superman Man of Steel was a little bit with too much story.
Too much
a little
fighting.
Too
a lot
and...
of people agree with you guys because it has done what they call a three-peat. It won the third weekend in a row,
nice.
Which really today with all the blockbusters coming out week after week
yeah,
after
it's
week,
true. Yeah.
it's hard to do in today's Hollywood, kind of North America-wise
yep.
anyway.
Yep.
So it had a healthy 26 mil over the weekend, North America, bringing its domestic take over 200 mil.
Awesome.
What's it worldwide now? Something like 500
586 million.
Wow. So this is very, very successful. Remember, Chris, remember that first Captain America movie when it came out.
Yeah,
how they were afraid to call it Captain America worldwide.
Yeah. Yes,
because they thought, you know, Captain America, because the world hates America.
Well, yeah, not in the whole world, but a lot of people do. Yeah.
So you know, in order to be successful, let's call it something else, like the guy in blue.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So it's great to see that, you know, it's almost doubled its take. Worldwide, as it has in the United States, you know, it has been out longer. I think a couple of weeks, but still,
No,
great news out of the Captain America front, and exciting news for comic book fans. Exciting news for movies based on comic books.
Absolutely,
because this whole ship keeps sailing forward.
And I think it was right around its actual release weekend. They already confirmed part three.
Yes.
They already knew out of the bag. This one's going to see the trilogy. And, you know, I guess after the first one in Avengers, they knew it was going to happen. Like, they've got so many properties now that they are already guaranteed they're going to make sequels and trilogies for.
Yeah.
Just because the entire ensemble is so popular.
Ensemble.
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 Bonjour, monsieur. Où est-ce que votre ensemble? Qu'est-ce que tu cherches?
Ah, oui, oui. The ensemble.
I was trying to emphasize how well Captain America is received in France, obviously. You missed that altogether, I suppose.
Ensemble.
Yeah. Wait. All right.
Okay. Let's get this ensemble going.
Anyway.
We're done with Winter Soldier now, right?
We
can forget about this?
It sure can.
Get rid of it.
All right. And then we can catapult right into mailbag.
All
right. We actually have a mailbag.
Oh, nice. You know what? Nice.
This one is actually from a female.
Oh, boy.
Female bag.
Don't call them that.
Yeah. No?
No. No.
It's not good.
No.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Let's apologize about that. We gotta go into the old female bag.
All
right. The female bag here. representing the female bag, we have Helen out of Mississauga.
Ah, Helen.
This was actually Helen. For you, Chris.
Good
Greek girl.
Quick, take the wedding rock off your finger.
Yeah,
quick.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So, hey, Chris. I saw the new Captain America movie and loved it. I know you're also a huge fan and probably agree with me. I'm wondering if you think Marvel blew their wad on the best comic movie of the summer already, compared to such as X-Men, Spidey 2, Guardians, etc. Do you think that this was the best film to come for this entire summer?
Yeah, it's great. You know, we know Helen. Thanks a lot for writing in. It's not very often we get a good female bag in.
No.
So
no. We don't get bad bags.
We only get bad mail bags. But listen, I do think that this is probably going to be the best Marvel movie of the summer.
You know what? I think it comes down to the X-Men movie.
Yeah,
Spidey
I agree.
Spidey 2-1, hit, miss, whatever. Yeah. But I really think that X-Men movie holds a lot of promise. But it's definitely going to be one of the two. And X-Men's what, late June or mid-June or something like that? I think it's going to be one of the two for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I think X-Men is going to be, if not number one, I think it's going to be a close second. I think Spider-Man looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, although I don't think it's going to be all that great of a movie. It's not going to have the same
Spidey
caliber.
Spidey opened strong out in the rest of the world. I think it opened last weekend.
I just don't think it's going to be the same caliber as Captain America.
Right.
Or as X-Men Days of Future Past. Have you guys seen trailers for that
yet? Yes, I have. That looks fantastic.
Phenomenal. So, absolutely phenomenal.
That's why I think it might hold a little bit of promise, as long as the actual film itself holds water.
And,
right?
You know, Untested Grounds with Guardians of the Galaxy coming in August. I'm still undecided on that. I'm looking forward to seeing it. But
Hey,
jury is still out on that.
So I touched on this in one of my posts last week. So some guy, I was surfing around the net with X-Men Days of Future Past. That was a Claremont Byrne story.
Yeah,
right?
It was a graphic novel.
Yeah. So some guys were saying, or like on the net, things. The Claremont Byrne combo was, the Lee Kirby.
Yeah.
Of the 70s, 80s.
Yes.
And their impact on Marvel was, almost as important as the Lee Kirby thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
The stuff that Claremont and Chris Claremont and John Byrne left on the table is just like obviously still resonating. Well,
their run on X-Men was legendary, right? Like,
They even did, the Power Man Iron Fist, they put them together, and that's going on the Netflix and stuff like that. So those guys, seeing Days of Future Past come actually to, one of the iconic, really,
amazing storylines
in Marvel Comics ever.
Yeah.
Come on screen, I think the fanboys are going to just go nuts over it.
Yes,
I hope it translates well into just like the layman population say, wow, that's cool. That's a great, great story.
I agree.
Let's hope.
I think it will. I think it's going to end up being an awesome storyline, an awesome movie. I think one of the things that this X-Men movie has going for it over, say, Guardians of the Galaxy or Spider-Man is the quality of the actors in this movie. Like, we've got Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart, Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman
is in it.
Halle Berry's
in it.
I think most of the original X-Men, though, are just kind of cameos, but they show up in the trailer, so you don't know how much they're in it.
Yeah,
but still.
But then they've got the newer guys.
Even the new people.
The new guys.
Famous. Michael Fassbender.
Yes. is in it, and the Jennifer Lawrence is in it.
Ooh. Chris, you struck a chord.
Oh, come on. She's a good actress. She's won lots of stuff. Come on.
Yeah, that's what you like about her is that she won stuff.
Easy now. Yeah. What's his name? The guy, the guy that plays Tyrion Lannister?
Yes.
Yo Brynner.
Peter Dinklage. He's in the movie.
Is, yeah.
So, just an amazing cast.
If I may say again, the ensemble –
The ensemble
of
yes.
this X-Men film, it's almost legendary, really.
Yeah, it really is.
There's so many key actors that are all coming together. I'm sure they're all taking somewhat of a pay cut to be able to do this together, which was some of the problems with the past X-Men films, where actors and actresses. Anyway, great characters, great actors. This, I really hope that the writing is there, because the premise is so great. It's so massive. I really think this should beat Captain America. Not take anything away from it. It's just it's got so much going for it.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I agree. Great. Thank you, Helen, for starting that that female bag.
Yes,
female Helen. Bag.
Thanks, Helen.
All right, so let's get down to it. What else we got for industry news?
Shecky, what's going on?
I think we're getting to something about bats. Are we talking about Batman?
Do we have a sponsor for industry news?
We always have sponsors.
I'm just
Chris.
Asking.
Okay, well then let's jump right to a sponsor. Let's get paid around here.
Well, somebody's got to get paid around
here.
So
this part of industry news brought to you by Electro Boxer Shorts, giving you an electrifying feeling when you put them on. Soon to come, Shocker Boxer Shorts.
It'll put a charge in your shorts, that's for
soon
sure.
Soon to come.
Supercharged.
All right. Go ahead.
So let's talk about Batman, Chris. Let's talk about how cool Batman is, how great Batman is, how important Batman is, and how oversaturated Batman will soon become.
Well, yeah, if it's not already.
Yeah, in the world of DC. Batman is celebrating his 75th anniversary this year, 2014.
Speaking of birthdays,
Appearing May 1939 in Detective Comics number 27, of course.
Yeah.
And to celebrate this, DC Comics will pull out a whole line of variant covers on titles that have nothing to do with Batman. But they'll have Batman variant covers to celebrate the 75th anniversary of Batman.
Which, you know what? Part of me thinks... go on.
So I'm excited about Detective number 33, which Jim Steranko will do a nice variant cover for. Other artists that will do variant covers on titles like Green Lantern and Justice League and Flash and Teen Titans and yada yada Wonder Woman include the likes of Klaus Janson.
Walt Simonson.
Yeah, Walt Simonson, Dan Jurgens, Mike Kaluta,
Kevin Nolan.
Yeah, so this is a great cast.
Lots of great artists out there who are coming together to provide artwork for this big event.
Yeah. Good on bats. Yeah. But, I mean, is it, you know, my question to you was, is it too much bats?
No, you know what? I don't think it is. In fact, I'm gonna go the exact opposite.
Not enough bats. Wow.
I think that... call me crazy, but I think that for his 75th anniversary, there should have been 75 separate covers for Batman. 75 different variant covers across all their different titles.
In May. Yeah.
That's a lot of different artists.
But you know what? There's probably – how many different – there's 52 different comics.
Yeah.
So you have one for each of them. You have one for each of them for sure, and then you have a couple separate ones.
Right.
And then there you go. There's your 75, right?
May could be like the Jackie Robinson month where everybody has to wear the Batman.
Yeah, right? You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
All the characters have to.
And they can do it for the Vertigo titles or whatever, even if it's just like a bat suit hanging in the corner or something like that. Like they could have somehow arranged a variant cover for every single comic out there. And I think they should have done that. One up to, you know, if they're going to go ahead and restart an entire universe a few years ago, why can't they have 75 different titles?
Yeah, why can't they have 75 different titles? And Batman's, it's carrying DC right now anyway.
Absolutely. All right. Absolutely.
Listen, now, Shecky. Batman... Batman, I think you and I talked about this before. Batman... It hit a nerve. It came at the right place.
Yes.
It came at the right time. Now, don't get me wrong.
Don't get me wrong.
Stories. It's all about the stories. It's about the character and about the stories. But, you know, we've talked about the character lending itself well to stories.
Yes.
The stories, artists and writers wanting to draw and write the character because the character touches a nerve. So it's almost by chance, really, right? It's just like a random throw. And Batman is kind of the seems to be the best formula in comics of all comics, of all heroes.
You're right.
You know, Spider-Man, maybe second, you know, but Batman seems to have worked.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And there was a great article, and I forget to play a periodical, I think it was Forbes, on they found documentation in DC on a lot of characters that they were planning on at the time that really didn't pan out.
Oh, okay, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I was lucky enough, I read that because, you know, I get Forbes.
Yeah.
And because, you know, I'm that kind of
guy.
Yeah,
well, you're a businessman kind
of guy. Yeah, you wear a suit and tie to work every day, right?
I mean, we can't go through all of them, obviously.
Okay,
but,
okay. Well,
but,
give me a couple of them.
Well, I mean, again, I want to put a precursor to this again. It's just sometimes it's the luck.
Yeah,
sometimes
it's true.
It's the name. It's the way it rolls off the
tongue.
Very
true, very true.
And the meaning. Because bat is knights.
Yes.
You know, and detectives.
It's very, very
and
scary
all that kind of
and
stuff. Yeah.
Creepy and thriller. So,
they tried Baboon Man.
Oh, yeah.
And Baboon Man didn't work for obvious reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
They couldn't find a costume for the behind.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. I heard that was the biggest problem.
Like the
with
red
that
behind.
Yeah.
Why didn't they just go assless chaps?
Hey, oh.
But you know what? That's the thing. Back in the day, they couldn't show that. So they always had to have a word balloon kind of covering it.
Yeah, my ideas are always being oppressed.
Yeah, I know.
Then they had in the 50s, DC tried Hung Man.
Did you just walk around with like a knot or like a
no?
Like
it was about a cowboy that survived a hanging and was up for revenge.
Yeah.
You know the old classic story. They called him Hung Man.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it never took.
I can't believe Hung Man would not have taken off like that.
Yeah, Ass Man.
Ass Man.
Ass Man didn't take off. It was like a mule, a guy who like kicked really hard.
Right,
hard. Like a,
that was his big power.
It was big power, kicking backwards, right?
Yeah. And you know, the problem is when somebody's coming at you, you got to turn around.
You got to turn around. And that whole kicking backward motion wasn't good.
Yeah,
Zinc Man.
Zinc Man.
Yeah, that was in the 60s when Iron Man was really popular. DC tried Zinc Man.
They figured, you know what?
This is wrong.
He was really good at sunblock. Like, you know, he put a lot of sunblock on.
But he reflected a lot of stuff, so, and he wasn't good. Beaver Man.
Oh.
Beaver Man, his
built
secret
dams?
Power
was,
yeah, what he did is
the
he
dam
built
of
obstacles.
Solitude?
No, he built obstacles, obstacles quickly.
Obstacles, right.
Yeah, he quickly, as villains would come at him, he would build stuff to get in their way.
Right.
And it would be a blockage type of thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That was Beaver
Man.
So
he created blockages.
Now, just out of curiosity, did Beaver Man, did he have like big buck teeth as well?
No, this Beaver Man didn't.
Oh, okay.
No.
I bet he had a strong...
He was furry, though.
Strong
like
behind.
So he was furry.
He had a lot of hair.
And a strong behind, like a strong paddle.
Yeah.
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 I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I never saw the prototype
drawing.
Oh,
okay.
I just know this was in the memo.
First. Oh, okay.
Who else was there? There was Sloth Man.
Oh,
terrible. Wet Willy.
Not a whole lot happens in Sloth Man.
No,
comics.
Wet Willy was a character.
Yeah.
It was like an Aquaman type of prototype.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
but that never worked.
No.
And what's the last one here? Headman.
Headman.
He had a big head.
Yeah.
And he used it to solve crimes and stuff like that. And that just never went
anywhere. Probably kept weighing him down.
He probably preferred a little head.
Yeah, you know, he would have loved a little head.
But, you know,
but anyway,
was his whole thing.
So
he just wanted to get a little head.
As opposed to a lot of head? Think of the things you could do.
But
and there,
just,
you know, the list
think
was
of.
Huge.
Yeah.
There was like Pony Man and Totem Pole Man, but I don't want to get into them all. But listen.
Totem Pole Man.
The ability to grow to 20 feet.
Batman just hit.
That hit right at the right time.
It was right in the pocket.
Right.
The
Superman.
Right time, the right place.
Batman. You know, and then they tried these other ones that just don't work.
Yeah. Never got a dinner.
No.
These
well,
other
it
guys
it happens.
Never got a dinner.
No, you know, it happens.
All right. Where
you
are
know,
we now,
you know, I think Forbes should be doing more coverage on comic book characters.
That was a great story.
Yeah, good story.
Really
good story.
Excited about
okay,
it.
Okay, good, good.
What's going
All
on
right,
now, Check? Are we doing music?
I don't know
where
we are. We going to a little,
should,
little
let's
music.
Let's do some music and... Yeah. What do you got lined up for us here, Shek?
Oh, it's an oldie but a goodie.
You know, I like those ones.
And I want to hear you guess at it afterwards.
Okay, we'll be guessing.
There
right.
we go.
Let's hear it. Let's hear how it
I'll
sounds.
Be guessing.
All right.
Streams are swollen. Keep them doggies rolling roar through rain and wind and weather, hell-bent for leather, wishing my girl was by my side. All the things I'm missing, good fiddles, love and kissing, are waiting at the end of my ride. Move him on, hit him up, hit him up, move him on, move him on, hit him up,
rawhide! Ride him in.
Move him in.
Rawhide.
Yeah. Good fiddles, yeah. Love, yeah. And kissing.
No, what? Is that
good
what they're
fiddles,
saying?
Fiddles, love, and kissing is waiting at the end of my ride.
Is that what they're actually saying?
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
Rawhide.
Interesting.
Slap leather, baby.
All right. Okay. Well, let's keep on going here, Checky. What do you
absolutely.
Got to... Oh, you're talking about something original. Here, I got. Where are we talking about? We're asking who the original one for. Who the original singer of this song was?
Oh, that was Frankie Lane.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Frankie that was Lane. That was during the
Frankie
the song.
Valli did the version too. It sounded like this.
See, I didn't want to trivialize you on the air, Chris, because I knew you'd get it wrong again.
No, I know.
Yeah, you look like an imbecile.
That is true. That does happen occasionally. Listen, speaking of original things that happen. Now, have you guys ever heard of HeroClix?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Yeah, it's at the little figurine game. Little figurine. Like
Okay. So listen.
Okay.
So HeroClix, for those of you who don't know in our listening audience, it's kind of like a chess kind of game where you get all these different sort of little figurines of superheroes together, and they all have different powers, and you kind of battle each other.
Yeah, some shoot at each other from long, far away, and some of them have to get up close and knuckle each other in the
face. But it's all done on a board. It's all like a chessboard kind of thing, right? So anyway, so over the past few years, they have these giant tournaments.
Yeah.
And in these giant tournaments, they what they do is the winner gets to decide on sort of a premium HeroClix figurine.
Right.
Right. So the first one that was done was in 2011, and it was the character of Black Adam. And for the first time ever, they had the actual character choking a likeness of the character of the guy that actually won the game, if that makes sense.
Nice.
Okay. No, I get it. Because, Magic the Gathering, I played that forever. And at the World Championships, whoever won the world, so was the world champion, got to put their likeness in their own specific created card that was going to come out in a future set. And it's got their face on a character,
right.
Like a wizard or
something.
Okay,
so same idea. Yeah. So anyway, so more recently, the winner of this most recent HeroClix tournament decided to have his likeness sitting in a chair getting a lap dance by Harley Quinn.
Can you just imagine that? Now, Chris, okay,
yes.
You're a married man. But think of, you're on the dating scene or something like that, okay? And I know you've got all your die casts and everything sitting in, your nice little stands with the nice little silhouette lighting and...
Yeah.
You know, you take lots of pride in it, even when I come over and start messing with them.
Okay,
and
I think we've all agreed that I'm quite the nerd. Yes,
okay,
go
well,
on.
Okay, anyway. So could you, what would happen? All of a sudden, you've got Spidey as a diecast, and then you've got you getting a lap dance from Harley Quinn, and your girlfriend, maybe wife-to-be, comes down and says, What is this?
Is
that you?
You like her better than me?
Yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah. That looks just like you.
No, it's Hung Man.
It's not me, it's Hung Man. Yeah.
It's Hung Man.
So it's definitely not you.
Listen. I just thought that was pretty funny how you can actually get your own likeness in these figurines now. So
that is cool. Really neat. It's incentive to keep,
They have to transfer that over to comics. You know how you had the Magic World of what's the game you play called?
Magic World of Magic.
And what's the thing you said?
WizKids.
They should do one with comics, and whereas maybe at the guy that comes in and buys the most. Or something.
They put a page
They can
three.
Draw him
he's
in.
He's goon or her. He's standing standby innocent number three who gets impaled by the bus shelter.
That's right. Yes.
When Rhino crashes through it or something. Yeah.
Okay, but hold on a second here. So I like how I like the thought processes here. So I'm the one getting the lap dance because I'm the perv and I. Yeah. But Walt's thinking about the number that the, for the guy that spent the most money at the store well, gets his likeness. Not the guy that won anything.
I'm trying to devise a. I'm thinking of all the local comic book
right,
shops.
And in which case, if we're following that trend, we're going around the circle. For me, it'd be the guy who gets paid the least to work.
Yes. Marty's thing will be the thanks for coming award.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
All right, well, that's very neat. That's
so where does that segue
us into? That was a good story. Listen, I think we're going on to Star Wars news.
Star Wars.
Listen, so...
Looking for those wars. Come back to me.
Now, J.J. Abrams, who, revitalized the Star Trek franchise.
Yes.
Creator of the Lost TV series with Damon Lindelof and creator of the TV show Alias.
I didn't know
well,
that.
With starring Jennifer Garner.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's going. He's done a couple other movies. He did that there's a movie called Eight Real or something like that. There's a film. I can't remember what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways.
Eight Track.
Something like that. Yeah,
8mm.
I don't know. No, it wasn't 8mm or 8 Mile. I can't remember what it's called. It certainly wasn't 8 Mile. That starred Eminem. Listen, so here we have, he's of course putting out the new Star Wars franchise movie with Episode 7. And of course there's going to be all kinds of, Star Wars stuff going on. With the novels and comics and games, and they're going to, of course, the new movie is going to draw the inspiration from all of the previous movies. Now we have a Simon Kinberg, who's going to be writing a script for the Star Wars film, is also going to be producing the Star Wars Rebels animated series.
Rebel. Rebel, your face is a mess. Hot tramp, I love you so.
So it looks like there's going to be all kinds of Star Wars stuff going on soon. And, of course, they're saying that this new
Chris,
Star Wars
movie.
Chris,
what are they
saying? They're saying that it's going to cost at least $200 million to
Get
make
out.
This new movie.
That's nothing. Avatar cost over like half a billion, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, right? No. I mean, you know what's funny? It does sound like a lot of money, but it's really not.
Yeah, but
yeah,
you know
what's
what?
$200 million?
I'm going to be honest, though. It actually is. They're doing a lot of...
it is, Chris. Apparently
I hate to create a tangent, but...
Tangent.
You know what? I'm just 30 seconds or less. Hollywood right now is under scrutiny because of all the CGI costs and production costs that go into everything. Huge stars wanting $20 million. Robert Downey Jr. is getting paid $50 million to do stuff like that. And you know what? The films aren't 100% of a sure thing. Even though it's just, it's a superhero movie, it's a this, that.
Yeah.
$250 million, $200 million to do a movie is still a lot of money that isn't a sure thing in today's economic market. And they say that, if 8 to 10 of these big, $100-plus million movies tank in 1 year, like if the blockbuster season, if half of them tank, that Hollywood's actually probably going to implode upon itself.
Get out.
Yeah. Mm. So it's the race for, encouraging everyone to buy as many tickets as they can and support the film industry. But at the same time, it's a little bit shaky right now. Spielberg and Lucas went out and said this exact thing that I'm telling you right now. Mm. So... there might be a grain of truth in it, or it might just be
Star
Wars
fiction. I don't know.
I mean,
there were the Heaven's Gates and the Reds and all tank, big, huge tanks, and Hollywood still survives.
You know what?
So.
There's always going to be movies that tank, and I think sometimes you need something like that to wake up Hollywood to say, hey, you know what?
Wake up.
It's not just about the special effects. There has to be a good story
involved.
Tell
me
involved.
A story. Tell, yeah,
you know,
I want
tell
to
me
see
a good story.
Something.
You
tell
know what's
me
actually
story.
Teaching Hollywood a good lesson right now? Is the successful run, and just because, whatever, I've done a horror, franchise spin-off show. Doesn't matter, but all the horror
franchise
films,
spin-off show.
Night Living Dead, whatever. All these horror films that are banking, huge numbers for being less than a $20 million budget.
Yeah.
They're what's keeping the whole scene going because they're using minimal CGI. They're using traditional special effects, one location, maybe one has-been B-list actor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're making great films right now.
Well, you actually make a good point. So I know
for
it's, I know it's shocking. For,
I'm shocked.
Shocking for Shecky.
Shock.
Shocking for Shecky to make a good point.
Shock
but here's
the Shecky.
The thing. Those movies, those movies that are coming
Peter
out.
Peter Gabriel, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I got
nice.
That. Yeah, the movies that are coming out, like the B movies, even C movies, you can tell that there's not a lot of money that are being put into them. But people, like, for example, you know, like Sharktopus versus Mega Croctopus or whatever. Well,
and, yeah, that wasn't my number one example for you, Chris.
But but those are – okay, let's say Piranha, right? So Piranha, the remake of the one that came out in the 70s, they redid it, and they've got, like, Ving Rhames was in it.
Yeah,
and,
Ice – one of the Ice guys.
It's one of those
– Ice Baby?
Ice Tea or Vanilla Ice. He's in that.
Yeah, relatively big names. Not huge, but relatively big names with – you know, decent directors and a little bit of money being put at it, and they make lots and lots of money. Like, so they're realizing that, you know, you need to have, there's a certain niche market that these movies can be can exploit, right, and make lots of money at it. And I think they need to do a lot more niche marketing.
Well, you know what? I like these small films bringing it home when finances are concerned. Because it shows that you don't need to have a $250 million budget just to make a buck at the end of the day.
Very good point.
Right on.
Very good point.
All right. Well, so anyways, I mean,
back to the wars.
So anyway, Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Apparently, they're doing work in Abu Dhabi, and the principal photography on the new Star Wars film is set to debut in theaters on December 18th, 2015. Has yet to actually begin. So they haven't actually gone out and starting the principal photography on it with all the actual actors and all that kind of stuff yet. So hopefully that'll happen soon.
Wow. So
crazy,
200
eh?
million bucks. So let's
200 million bucks.
I have confidence in Star Wars, though. Star Wars will do well.
Yeah, you know what? That's one of, like, the sure things. So
yeah,
we don't
Star
have
Wars
to worry
is,
about
yeah,
Star Wars.
Yeah, it's pretty well a sure thing.
Yeah, right? I agree.
Let's not worry about Star Wars. 200 million bucks drop in the bucket. All right. Hey guys, where are we going?
I want to throw things over to me for a second. You know what, Walt?
You know, it's always about you.
Yeah, it's always about you. Yeah.
I try and get a glimpse of something about me, and both of you just rag on me.
I thought it was our show.
Yeah, well,
clearly not.
Apparently not.
Well, I'm getting paid less than you, so pity me and give me 5 minutes.
Pity the fool.
We're getting paid? Anyways, go on.
Anyway. Walt brought something up that struck with me, and it reminded me of something that happened a little while ago. So we missed the show last week. Chris, you were violently ill.
I know. I was very
something
sick.
Like that. Yeah. I don't know what you had. You had some sort of bug. Or,
yeah.
Or maybe you're just trying to play hooky with us. And, yeah,
dipsy
you're getting out of it.
Dippy doodle-itis.
Yeah. Maybe you're going to see Captain America for the
City.
Fifth time. I don't know.
Doctor is a plumber.
Anyway.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, so Walt and I hit that one-day show, this past weekend in Toronto or Burlington. Where was that? Exactly.
Burlington.
Was it okay. No. And it was great. You know, it was a one-day, you know, fun event. But so the weekend before that, you know, right before you got ill, I was in London for the weekend.
Oh, yeah, you were at the Shockstock.
Shockstock Horror Festival.
Right? Nice.
And so I went to promote the Night of Living Dead Live, right?
Yeah.
But so, you know, that's the second year I've gone there. You know, the year before, total shock factor. If you get my play on words. No? Okay. Yeah.
No, I didn't get it.
He was drunk the whole time.
Right, okay.
Let it go. Anyway, it's great because now my eyes have been open. I've done so many conventions with Walter and Big B Comics and, you know, so many comic book conventions that you don't actually know what the difference is between other styles of conventions.
True, yeah.
And so what I did was...
But your
eyes
have been open now.
Absolutely.
Your eyes have seen the glory.
Mm-hmm. I got to observe enough
of the con
that I took note on some big differences between comic book conventions and horror conventions.
Oh, nice.
So
I've always wanted to go to a horror convention.
Yes, me too. Yeah.
I hear they're quite
expensive. I love horror conventions.
Yeah.
They're a little pricey. But
yeah, they are.
Yeah, well, you know.
But you know what? You find the one good booth you like and you just stick with it.
Stick with it.
Anyway.
The penguin booth.
Yeah. So the top five comparisons I found, I compiled. So I brought those here for you two to be more learned men.
Learned.
All right. So the top five comparisons between a comic book convention and a horror convention are...
Horror.
Yes.
Number five, Comic Cons have more celebrity guests still active in TV and film, where Horror Con celebrity guests are a higher percentage of retired porn stars.
Nice.
So now we're
that's
bleeding.
That's the horror convention.
Yeah, we're bleeding. That's the horror conventions, just so that you know. All right, number four. Comic-Con vendors arrive an hour early to set up for the day, where an hour after a horror con is already open, half the room's vendors already have not arrived.
right. Nice.
You know, I think they've got a leg up on you guys. They know they don't have to go for the first hour. People wait around.
Nobody's there. They all walk around. Tire kickers at the beginning, Marty.
Well, then again, a lot of people came just screaming for Advil an hour after it opened. So I don't know why they were in pain of some kind. All right, number three differences.
Yeah.
At Comic Cons, you can't walk down the aisles because it is packed with cosplayers, shopping bags, and people. At Horror Cons, you can't walk down the aisles because people are dancing and jumping to 80s death metal.
Oh, really? Does that actually happen a lot?
The guy beside me, honestly, he had like an iPod attached to a laptop with some big speakers and a subwoofer. I think he spent 10 minutes actually behind his table and the remaining time actually out in the aisle.
Enlighten me. What's 80s death metal?
Oh, you know, like the Slayer and the Megadeth.
Pantera?
Pantera.
Yeah. I completely forgot about a band like that. Yeah.
Pantera.
Slayer. Slipknot.
Yeah.
You know what? Good stuff, though. You know? Like when you're only exposed Balloon to Knot. It for one brief weekend, you can really just start tuning it out for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's true.
But for that weekend, it's okay.
Yeah.
All right,
number two. At Comic Cons, bottled water, granola bars, and fruit are smart planning for vendors to carry you through the day.
It's true.
At Horror Cons, a person's daily nutrition is based purely on whatever they pour into a red Solo cup under their table.
Nicely done. Hey, and don't think for a bit, though, and Chris and I will attest to this, that does not happen.
I was wondering where this was going to go.
That does not happen at Comic Book Con.
We have seen a lot of that happen.
Owen and I have seen a lot of stuff go down.
Like Chris sees you and you see him.
We've seen a lot of people go down. I mean, things go down.
Red cups.
Red cups.
Yeah, and then people take a nap at 4 p.m.
Screw the cup.
Okay. All right, forget the cup.
Did you just say people need to have a nap behind the booth?
I've seen someone fall asleep behind the booth at 4.
Okay, that was once. All right, let's keep going.
I think that's why I'm banned from cons.
All right, number one difference that I found. At Comic Cons, it's one of the few days a year cosplayers dress up as their manga, comic book, and fantasy characters. At Horror Cons, people cosplay with bandanas, chains, tattoos, leather straps, and all kinds of too much makeup, but they do that 365 days of the year.
Nice. Yeah, that's very true.
I feel like if I see them the one day there, I've seen them every day of the
year. Pretty much, I would think so.
So in other words, it's a lifestyle and not just a fantasy getaway.
Yeah. The thing I find interesting is that's Marty's second year there.
Well, once they get you once, they keep bringing you back.
Uh-huh. Hey, so listen, did you make any good contacts at that show?
He made some contacts. All right.
The cast of Evil Dead the Musical came in.
Yeah.
And that show is a very gory show.
Right.
So they all came in dripping of blood, you know, and they came up to me and said, "Oh, Night of Living Dead Live, we heard all about you and stuff. You should get our producer to do your show."
Yeah.
And I said, "Hey, pal, whatever you want, just stop dripping blood on all the t-shirts."
Oh, that's never good.
That I'm trying to sell.
Yeah. You know, so I had to.
Did you bring me his t-shirt?
So I called security. It had blood on it, Chris. You didn't want that, of course. No.
Blood on the rocks. Oh. Ain't no surprise.
Is that some sort of song?
That's Neil Diamond, I think.
Really?
No, I think it's Love on the Rocks. Okay.
Completely different.
Yeah. Let's continue on with this.
All right. Well, we're running out of time here.
No, we're not really.
We only have about 7 minutes left. We do need to talk about Fantastic Four.
7 minutes, Chris. Plenty of time for you, I hear.
Time to cuddle after.
Let's talk about Fantastic Four, maybe.
Yeah.
Listen, we got to talk about Fantastic Four. Now, Fantastic Four, this is a plagued movie.
Plagued.
This is a movie that, you know, Roger Corman came out with years ago, and then they came out with two more Fantastic Four movies more recently, within the past 10 years. And it seems like it's just a movie that they're just having problems getting made and done properly and widely accepted. And so it seems like this guy named Josh Trank.
Josh.
Trank. Is going to be Trank. Rebooting Fantastic Four.
Hi, I'm Josh Trank. Where's my truck?
Where's my drink? It seems like he's going to be doing the reboot of Fantastic Four for Fox. And Fox is going to be doing this... whole Fantastic Four reboot thing.
They're keeping the property alive.
But they're trying to make it a young version of the Fantastic Four.
So they're revisiting the origin story.
Yeah.
They're doing them as young characters. Kind of like, what's the guys with the mutants?
X-Men?
Yeah. What's the movie that they made?
The guys with the mutants.
Yeah. The movie that they made when they were young.
First Class.
First Class.
So they're kind of going that way. They're going Mr. Fantastic.
May I, for a moment, interject here?
Go ahead.
Oh, please do.
So first of all, you know exactly what you don't know until I say it, but Chris Evans is definitely not going to be in this film.
Can't be,
I'm
going to
say 100% he's not going to be in this film.
Don't yell.
His pay rate is beyond, you know, what.
Who's Chris Evans?
What it was.
Played Captain America.
Captain America.
And he used to be the Human Torch.
Oh, right, Human Torch, right.
Now his pay grade, I'm sure, is fivefold.
Yeah.
But either way, didn't they have, and, you know, again, politically correct, an African-American actor who was actually going to start portraying the Torch? I heard that.
That would be
through
cool.
Rumor mill.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard that.
It is. What's his name?
I haven't heard
It's Michael Chris Jordan. Rock. Michael B. Jordan or something. Whoever. He's an actor. He's
okay.
not the basketball player. No, not him.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I didn't know that.
I think it's B.
And he's going to play.
The difference between him and Michael Jordan is he actually has a letter for his middle name, so he has a difference.
And he's going
to
play.
I heard
Human
he's supposed
Torch.
To play
Torch?
The Human Torch. And it was like a little bit of a to-do because he's an African-American, and I don't think that character's ever been portrayed in any universe.
Well, the only thing that I would say about that is that might be weird because Invisible Woman, Invisible Girl.
In the canon, they are brother and sister.
Yeah.
So
maybe he's adopted. I don't know.
Maybe.
All I know is, fair enough.
That'd be cool.
All I know is he's in the pipe for actually being the Human Torch, which I thought was going to shake things up huge. They're obviously looking for something to fix this property.
They need it, though, guys. They need it. FF needs it. FF's going nowhere.
No.
And that's the problem with FF.
It was the classic group superhero.
We've discussed this before. Yeah. You know, FF saved comics, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, they came in, they did Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four was not your typical comic book up until that time. The teammates bickered. There was kind of that whole real life thing going on, and the emotional problems of the characters, the conflict within characters.
Yep.
This was unseen in comics before the Fantastic Four. The Fantastic Four was it.
Yep.
Jack Kirby, Stan Lee, the greatest creative duo probably in comics ever. They set the standard with Fantastic Four, and yet for some reason, Fantastic Four lately has been falling flat. I don't know, man. I wish this works.
I hope so too. And in parallel, speaks with that
in parallel universes.
With actual comic books, it seems like they've stepped away from. Well, other than Doc Ock taking over Spidey and stuff like that, they've stepped away from a lot of the gimmicky gimmicks just to get new appeal and new differences of things kind of into the mainstream.
Yeah.
And so this is a good way, I think, that they can shake it up and really just start from ground zero.
Yeah, no, again. I agree. And you know what? Fantastic Four is a great franchise. They need to be able to – but I think it's one of those franchises that needs a great villain canon too, right?
You know what else it needs? Honestly, it needs not Jessica Alba to play. It needs not someone who just is there for looks and looking good, almost naked, as an invisible girl who strips down to her bikini. Or so. You know what? That's not going to make a good comic book movie.
All the best
comic book movies right now, Captain America. Who is half naked in that movie?
Captain America.
Yeah, for like 5 seconds. I'm just saying,
Chris,
for like 5 seconds.
Yes. Yeah.
Good for you, buddy.
Listen.
Does he shave his chest, do you think, or does he wax?
What do you think, Chris? Listen, you know what?
But you know what I'm saying, right? You don't need TNA
to sell a comic book movie.
Nowadays, you need a good story.
You need TNA to sell comics.
Yes,
but
sometimes.
Not a comic book
no,
movie.
Not
from you, though, Walt. Right. Keep your clothes on. Put your pants back
put
on,
Put your pants
Walt.
Back yeah. on.
Listen, we've run out of time.
I don't know where the time went.
I know.
But I have to say the comic culture has been produced and will continue to be produced by Marty Berthelmer, a.k.a. Shecky Feldstein. For comments, suggestions, visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link. Scroll to the bottom and add your comments, please. Also listen to us at, I believe you can go to getthepointradio.com.
We're not too sure.
We're still not sure.
Yeah. And please go out and support your local comic book retailers and have yourself a great day. Thank you for listening. Again, we are located on CFMU 93.3 FM radio.
Right. And as Chris said, go out and local your support shop. And participate in Free Comic Book Day this year. Google Free Comic Book Day and get your butt into your local comic book shop.
And have a great day.
Rolling, 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 rolling.